the end, we are going to be judged by how well we have loved. And the standard is impossible. We need the Holy Spirit in order to do this, because in the human way, it's humanly impossible. But of course, every commandment is a promise. In reverse, God is saying, I will give you the grace to do this. I will give you the grace to love as I have loved you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we are in relationship with God, we have been loved. We've been loved. So how do we love well? First, we start with begin at the beginning. How does he say to love? As we've been loved. How have you been loved by God? If you don't know that, that's the place to start. It's always about his love being first for us. Of course, the ways in which, this is why prayer is so utterly important. One of the things that you don't know about is what God has done for you. Well, you know what God has done for you better if you pray for things. Because when you pray for something, God gives a chance to show you that this blessing is from him. It's not so much, oh, you asked me for this, and your asking was just so powerful, but rather, you asked me for this, and it gave you an opportunity to see that, yes, I'm the one blessing you with this. You know, there's so many blessings that we have that we just think, well, I earned that, or that was good luck, or that was, I don't know, that was somebody else was nice to me, but was it God? And when we pray, it puts it in the context of our relationship with God, and so we're able to see, oh, this is God's love for me right here. This is an answered prayer. And what was really cool was at school mass on Friday, I asked, I don't even remember what question I asked. So Gage Ignatowski was like, I was asking a rhetorical question, but Gage was like, well, I want to tell you about an answered prayer. And I was like, well, go ahead. And he told me about an answered prayer. And I was like, that was pretty cool. I wasn't even trying to get that. But Gage is like, yeah, I prayed for my friend. His leg was better. Okay. And as soon as you were done talking, I don't think anyone but me saw this, but there were like 5 or 6 or 7 other hands. They weren't raised very high, but I could see them from where I was standing right down there. And I thought, oh, no, we don't have time for everybody's. But what I know, Gage, what was testifying to was God has been faithful to me. Here's how. Well, let me tell you. I did not get the sense that it was going to be a short homily if I let everyone testify to this. Why? Because people are praying. They're asking God. They're talking to God. It's in the context of their relationship with God. So important that we pray, because why? It gives us a chance to receive God's love and his care for us. And you can't love somebody else unless you've been loved by God and you know it. You can't love like Jesus loved unless you've been loved by God and you know it. It's the only way, because we as Christians, right? And I've used this analogy many times, but a Christian is somebody who, if you ask them how their day is going and they say, you know, an honest answer would be, could be good, could be bad, could be a lot of things, but a true answer would be, I am blessed. Now, I don't know, maybe you get annoyed when people are like, oh, blessed every time. Maybe you love that because you're like, that's great. I don't have to deal with whatever, you know, other thing you might complain about. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's honest to be, if you're having a bad day, you can be honest. Christians have bad days. That's normal. But it would also be true if you said, I am so blessed. In fact, that would be truer than the honest feeling statement. The honesty is like, I'm telling you what I really think. True is, I'm saying something that's objectively accurate. And a Christian is somebody who, if the lawnmower breaks down, and this is the analogy I've used a billion times, the car breaks down, the lawnmower breaks down, you stub your toe and you get fired and then you win $400 billion in the lottery. And someone says, how's your day going? You probably wouldn't say, oh, I stubbed my toe. It was going great, but I stubbed my toe. Oh, also, I won $400 billion, and I'll never have to work again, and I can do whatever job I want. And so why? Because of God's love for us. How has he loved us? With agape love, the self-sacrificing love that puts the other person before yourself. Now, in English, we have a lot of meanings for one word. Greek had a lot of words for love. There was romantic love, there was the love of friendship, and then there was agape love, where it's the self-sacrificing, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to be committed to you. And I want you to think about that. Are you committed to the people in this parish? Because the context of this is not just the family. He's actually saying this to his disciples, who are not blood relatives to each other. Okay? I mean, they're all Jewish, but they're not like brothers. They're not all cousins. Okay? And he says, this is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. There's a level of commitment to one another that disciples must have in the body of Christ. I grew up in this thing called the Work of Christ community, where we would go to church on Sunday morning in our own parish. Almost everybody was Catholic, but if you weren't Catholic, you still, to be a member of this, you had to go to church in the morning. But you also would go to a prayer meeting on Sunday evening. There was a youth group, there were mission trips. That's why I'm Catholic. That is the only reason my parents know Jesus. It is the only reason I am Catholic. And in the context of the Work of Christ community, they are very committed to working through their hashtag relationship probs. Like all of the problems in relationships that come up, what does the world want you to do? Give up. Have nothing to do with that person. You know why? They offended you. And they were rude. Okay? And they were mean. And you know what? Have nothing more to do with them. And that's the answer. Good. No, there's a level of lack of commitment there that's so worldly. It has nothing to do with the love of Christ, right? Here's the question. What is the opposite of love? Everyone says apathy is the opposite of love. Indifference. Maybe, sometimes. You know what's probably more often the problem? At least for me, and I never think that I'm speaking only for myself. I have the belief that we are all more or less the same. Some of us have a little bit of a different weakness or a different like pressure point over here, but we're basically the same. What's the biggest problem for me loving? Sometimes it's apathy. That's up there. That's when I don't do something I should do. And maybe that's the biggest one. But if it's not, you know what is for sure the biggest one? For me, and I think for all of us, pride. Pride will keep you from making an apology when you didn't love the way that you should have. Pride will keep you from forgiving somebody because you want to hold on to resentment. Pride will keep you especially from this. Loving as God has loved. Did we ask for forgiveness and repent before Jesus came in search of us? Nope. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, going away from God and still just, we're going to put it into fifth gear, Lord. Bye. We're not even talking to him at this point. He comes in search of us. So what does it mean to love? As it means to forgive somebody who's not even asking for your forgiveness yet. Right? It means to have grace for somebody who keeps on doing something wrong. Doesn't mean don't tell them that that's wrong or hurtful or that doesn't mean that. It means I'm actually going to have a heart that's open to you and forgiving of you, even when you haven't acknowledged that you've hurt me and that you've done something wrong. You know, the other person might be super arrogant and say, well, I'm sorry you got hurt by that, but it was your fault because, you know, and they might be really wrong. And what pride wants to say, oh, you're going to tell me that? Oh, no, listen, you don't talk to me like that, you know? And there you go. There you go. Or maybe it's not you, it's your family. That's usually where we get most provoked. And we have this incredible pride about what we're going to do. And oh my goodness. I mean, we see it all the time, right? We see it in our own hearts. The Lord, he is asking us to forgive before someone asks for forgiveness. He's asking us to forgive before somebody acknowledges that they've done something wrong, because that's what he did for us. He's not inviting us to look at all of these loves and love somebody with, oh, I completely trust you, or no, trust needs to be earned, and some of these things we need to work through. But there's a level of commitment to working through these things in the context of our faith that doesn't exist with people outside the church in the same way. It could. We want to invite everybody in. We want to love everybody unconditionally. But to say that you're a Christian is to say you have a commitment to certain relationships, including the people in your parish, the people in the body of Christ, you know. And I think that it is true. People do see who Jesus is when they see the way that Christians don't give up on relationships at the first problem. They have the humility to apologize and say, I was wrong. And for my part, I'm really sorry. And to go on, you know, that's humbling. And you, every time you see that person, you're like, oh, I don't want to be reminded of my mistakes. So I just never want to see them again. But you live in Pinckney. So just open your heart to what the Lord wants to do when this comes up. And hey, yeah, you made a mistake. We all make mistakes. We can think that, oh, I'll be reminded of my mistake. Or we can think that, hey, you know what I'm reminded of? Like siblings might have in a healthy family, like in a good family. All of them are imperfect. But yeah, we have history. Like, we've made mistakes. That's not what I think of when I think of my brother or my sister. Now, if the family's not healthy, then it might not be quite as clear of an example. But yeah, we have those. We all have those. But I'm actually really known and loved anyway, and I belong here anyway. And I know them and I love them anyway, and they belong here anyway. This is quite a high standard. But what is it that will bring the gospel to the world? This is what Jesus says. They'll know you are followers of God because you love one another. He doesn't say, you know what? You know how they're going to know that you're followers of God? By how much you tithe. All right? As important as you know, I think that is. He doesn't say by, you know what? It's by how many miracles you do. Okay? So get out there and pray for people for healing. That's actually really good. You should really do that. I talk about that a lot. But this is how people will know that you belong to God. That's how they'll know it's true, that he is really Lord, that Jesus really is Lord. I really am honored and blessed by this night's council, honored to be part of this parish and blessed by this night's council. You men and your families have really put so many times I've seen the parish comes first and the mission comes first. And it's not about, you know, it's not about you. And I am really grateful for you. I hope that you know that. Really grateful for the way that you have been selfless and serving. And it is another, like, talk about apathy being a key thing of like going, what, how do the Knights of Columbus go against apathy? Well, really in almost every way I can think of. You know, it is a really active way of laying down your life and serving in very often unseen ways. And I am grateful to you for that. And it's also really cool that the way in which, like, what I see in this council, what I see in you is you're really interested in handing on the faith to the next generation. You're really interested in, it doesn't have to be my way, or this is how my generation does it, or we do it like this. It's actually not about how exactly would I do it, but what is the Lord asking? How are we called to serve? Let's do that. For all of us, when we come up against apathy and pride, and the ways apathy keeps us from serving and giving of ourselves, and the way pride keeps us from, and the way pride sometimes launches us toward doing something that is unloving, we want to remember the words of our Lord and what he said. But first and most, we want to remember how he has first loved us, and to be able to say, you know, I haven't been loved perfectly right now by this person, but I've been loved by God perfectly. And I, I can love this person the way I've been loved by this person and allow that to be what characterizes my actions instead of, oh, this is a bad interaction. Remembering his love first is what allows us to love others, and so that, and that's what allows the world to know that we belong to God.